we should be okay. This is Michael Howell from Appalachian State University. It's May 1st, 2010, and I'm in the home of Douglas, is it Arbogast? Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you wouldn't mind just sort of introducing yourself, telling us where you're from, if you've been from other places, how you ended up here, and okay. Then let's go from there.
My name's Doug Arbogast. I was born, what I tell people when they ask where I'm from, I say I'm from the southernmost part of New York, which is Palm Beach, Florida.
Okay.
And I went to boarding school in Asheville, which is kind of how I ended up in this area. And my family has property in Brevard, which is near here. How I ended up in Tryon, I lived in a number of places. I lived in South Florida, went to school in Asheville, lived in Atlanta, lived in Dallas, Texas, lived in Jacksonville, Florida, lived in Asheville, lived in Brevard. Background most recently before moving to Tryon was... I worked in the construction business in land development and home building, residential home building. And I was going to build 3 spec houses in Lake Lure, and I didn't want to drive down the mountain every day to do that. Wow. So I started, I was going to live in Lake Lure. Well, my mother, whose health is not good, was living in Landrum, which is only 6 miles from where we are right now.
Okay.
And I used to drive down here and surprise her on a Sundays once in a while and just show up in church for 6 weeks, whatever. About 4 years ago in April, I went down to surprise her, and she wasn't in church, so I had to sit with her little 80-year-old friends in the front row, and I basically reintroduced myself to the priest as we were leaving the church, and I said, you know, I said, I got the surprise today. I said, but you're going to be seeing more of me because I'm going to be moving closer, and he said, well, that's a good thing because your mother's health is deteriorating. Mm. Well, it turned out she was on a trip with his wife, so he was hearing daily about everything. And I said, well, I have to rent for the first 2 years anyway. I said, you know, if you know of anything for rent in this area, I didn't just as easily live here. Let me know. And he literally pulled me 5 feet, pointed out the window at the church rectory, and said, in 2 weeks, it's available. I said, fine, in 2 weeks, I'll take it.
Wow.
And that's how I moved this to Tryon.
No, not this place.
Okay. I bought this house 2 years ago. And so that's how I ended up in Tryon.
Okay.
When I was in Brevard, which is... I lived in Asheville a couple years, maybe 2 or 3 years, but then I lived in Brevard for several years before I moved over to Asheville, and I got very involved in a lot of the community stuff in Brevard.
Okay.
And I kind of have a knack for jumping into stuff if there's nothing to do, and with the building market doing what it did and me waiting on these projects to start, I didn't really have anything to do, so I got very involved in the community in Tryon. And I think I missed the first meeting of the Downtown Development Association, so I was immediately made president, which in turn made me chairman of some of the Small Town Main Street program, and then became chairman of the Tourism Development Association for the town. And there was a reason I went ahead and let that happen, and that was to kind of bring 3 different groups that had very similar ideas, but a whole bunch of different people doing a whole bunch of different work all towards the same goal without really knowing what was everybody else was doing. I thought it'd just be an easy way to do that, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out very well. So, but then we ran into a shortcoming, and that was we have all these great volunteer situations, and when it gets time to follow through or to get somebody to do something about them, that's kind of where you fall short.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody will volunteer to do things, but when it comes down to it, they've run out of time, they're not getting paid, whatever. There's every reason to not be able to do it. So I looked at these 3 groups and I was like, you know, each one of us has a budget.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just carve some money out and we'll hire somebody and all 3 groups will contribute and we'll get somebody to do all these great ideas and follow through, because the town is struggling. This little town is sitting up here on this precipice, and at this very moment, even today, it could be a great arts getaway town, antiques getaway town, like it was in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, just a place you went and hid but had a great time.
Mm-hmm. Is that Tryon's history?
Yeah, Tryon, ask me about the history in a little while and I'll bring you back around that way, but it has a long line of very well-known individuals who would literally just be strolling the streets in the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Mm.
Hemingway, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Lady Astor, William Gillette, who played Sherlock Holmes, David Niven.
Wow.
Just, it was a great retreat for a lot of people. Actually, people came from the state of Washington and California for weekends in Tryon.
Wow.
And, of course, the horse, you know, it's an internationally famous horse community. So people came there in the horse crowd anyway for many, many years and continue. I think Toronto will be the only place in the country by the end of this year that has the major courses in all classes anywhere in the world.
Wow.
With the facilities that are in this community. But you have to ride around and find all those. But actually, one of them is right up here, right across the street.
Okay.
So, Tryon's a very famous hideaway spot, getaway spot. And we're trying to recreate that. The road that runs right through town used to be the only way to get from Greenville or Spartanburg to Asheville.
Okay.
Well, when they built the interstate 4 miles over, that really kind of changed all that for the town. And the town liked that it changed all that for the town.
Sure.
But for a merchant standpoint, that really hit the town hard.
Mm-hmm.
So we get back to where we were trying to figure out we're going to recreate this downtown. And we're going to hire somebody to follow through with all these different ideas. Well, the town council got involved with it. And there was a member on every one of the boards I was on. This one member of the town council was actually on each one of those boards. He just happened to have the same interests.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't agree on everything. But I had suggested that we hire someone on an interim period for 6 months to just kind of start these ideas while we interviewed for a permanent person.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that I wanted to hire for that first 6 months, this particular fellow didn't, had a personal dislike for. So I said if we did not have somebody in an office following through on everything on January 2nd of 2009, I'm pretty sure it was, that I would resign from all the boards because I was tired of having all these great ideas but no follow-through. So January 2nd came around, and this guy blocked my ability to do that because the town needed to be involved, because the town said, oh, well, we'll match.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that gave them a good stick to carry. So they blocked that. He spoke for the entire council, which really wasn't his purview to do, but he did it anyway. So I was fine. So for 7 months, nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. We got a new town manager in that period of time. And so they went ahead and hired the guy I wanted to do that, and things did start to happen. And that was the best thing, because the new town manager actually had somebody there who knew everything going on, was, and kind of turned out to be an assistant for him, so that worked very well. Well, election time starts to come around, and I don't remember what the period of time was, but it seems like it was in the spring or early summer last year that you had a one-week period to sign up, and by Thursday of that week, no one had signed up. And I had said that maybe I just needed to jump the fence, and, you know, since the council blocked me before, maybe I just needed to go on that side and try and work towards the better of the town that way. Everybody on the council is retired. Nobody has a business in town. And I've got several businesses in town. And so it's very important to me that they be able to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we figure out how to, you know, make the town prosper. Or I might as well close them up and lock the doors and move somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And Thursday of the week to sign up came along. Nobody signed up. So I went down and signed up because I'd been asked by several people or to consider it. So I did. I went over there and signed up. At the time, there was a very negative situation in this town about annexation.
Mm-hmm.
And the council before had passed an annexation situation that had the town literally torn in half. The mayor and two and three incumbents were very pro-annexation, and there was one guy who campaigned and got on the last election that was against it. So even though, I guess a couple of people get off every 2 years, but so it must have been 4 years ago when they did this, because one of the guys must have rotated off, but the guy that had just gotten on 2 years ago, was his own, he ran for one thing, anti-annexation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so this election, so I signed up. Nobody knew my position on annexation at that point because I didn't have one. And nobody wanted to believe I didn't have one, but this was such a contentious and divisive issue. Why go delve into something like that if you don't need to?
Mm-hmm.
And so I sign up. It's a Thursday. By Thursday afternoon, this other guy went and signed up, and he had one issue, anti-annexation. Well, the two incumbents who had said they were not going to run, thought that they better run because now this anti-annexation guy was going to run and I wasn't going to be able to beat him. Hmm. So now there's four in the race. Uh-huh. And then somebody else joined on Friday. So, okay, so now we got five people. Now, I was fine with the previous two incumbents, so I didn't really do much campaigning or anything. When I have to back up, because I have a funny story of how I moved here to, after I moved here to Tryon, which was May of 4 years ago, I was moving my furniture in, and I fell moving a large statue, and I cracked a tooth. Mm. So my sister has this perfect idea of the dentist, which you have to go to, you know, twice a year. She has a way that you look forward to this. You pick a town that you enjoy visiting every 6 months, and you go find a dentist there.
Okay.
And you make a 3-day or 4-day weekend out of it. You know, and you include the dentist appointment. Well, I didn't have a dentist here, and I'd broken this tooth, so I called her, and her dentist was in Charleston. Mm-hmm. So this was perfect. I call, I get an appointment. Appointment's 2 weeks later. I thought, okay, I'm going to get a date. Mm-hmm. So I go online and start looking at the online dating things, and found this picture of somebody I was very attracted to. So I wrote him a note, but it also tells you the last time that person checked their thing. And he hadn't checked it in like a month or whatever. But anyway, I wrote it anyway. So the next day, I turned it back on, and it showed that he was online. Mm-hmm. So we started writing back and forth. And literally, by that evening, we started talking on the phone. I had talked him into coming up here before I went to Charleston the next day.
Wow.
So he did. He came up here, and he never left.
Is that right?
We went to Charleston. We sold his house. We got his stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Literally, he never left. Wow. He was a fireman. He'd been in Iraq for a year and had just come back and hadn't decided did he want to go back into the fire service or what. He wasn't sure on that. So just the timing was right. So that's how I ended up having a partner here. Everybody in town, you know, it's Doug and Josh. I mean, you know, it's just the way it is. And everybody knows this is a very friendly, open-minded town. And the first day I actually moved into that house over there, it had a gate down at the end of the sidewalk. And this is your little typical white picket fence, white picket house for the rectory, okay?
Wow.
And there's this guy standing down there waving with his dog. So I go down there, and he came in and introduced himself, you know, and somehow, I mean, you know, I guess everybody knew. I didn't arrive with heels or anything, but everybody knew somehow on that first day. And we had a dinner party probably within the first, before Josh had even come up. I must have lived in the house maybe a week or so. I already had a dinner party for like 10 people that the guy at the end of the gate had introduced me for before I had to make this appointment, do all the rest of the stuff, and then suddenly was no longer single. And so that's kind of how I got into the town society.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then I just jumped into these different groups. And, I mean, there's never been the first negative situation at all.
That's really amazing.
That I'm even aware of.
Wow.
Or if there was one, people have made sure that I didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So now then after... You know, the building market kind of tanked and the development market kind of tanked. But before it completely tanked and I was still building those spec houses, we were looking at the town going, you know, what would we most like to do here?
Mm-hmm.
And having a wine and piano bar was something I always wanted to do. So we built one.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some other people involved in it. It kind of became one of those, you know, let's all get together and go to the garage and put on a show kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of how we built the wine bar. And then we bought the cafe expand to the cafe next to it, which we're de-expanding now and getting rid of the cafe.
Is that right?
Yeah, the wine bar is great, but I'm not a restaurant person, and I never intended to be. And I tell people when they come to the wine bar the first time, I don't know anything about wine. I don't know anything about food. I just know we didn't have a place like this. And the entertainment that literally showed up knocking on the door, wanting to play in there, was... world class. I mean, the first guy that comes in wanted to be a partner in it. His name's Jim Peterman. He was the organist and wrote music for a short time for the Steve Miller Band. And you Google him, and he's played with everybody. Boz Scaggs. I mean, the list is just amazing of who he's played for. He brings a drummer and a guitarist and a vocalist once a week and plays at the wine bar, and it's packed and it's loud.
Wow.
Then another night a week, we'll have a lady named Daryl Rice. She used to perform in very large venues, probably more up north, but she's very well known in Charlotte. And she didn't like the big venues anymore, so now she comes over here. And let me just check.
Sure.
I'll turn that off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to check my phone.